Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, folks. Joining us on the line is Tim Temple, candidate for insurance commissioner. You will recall that Jim Donilon has announced that he is not running for re-election. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Noel.
And in full transparency, I guess I should let the listening audience know that I think, Tim, the first time I met you, you were in high school. I knew your dad, Aubrey, very well, and had worked with him on a number of initiatives. So it's been a long time.
It has been. Good to talk to you.
So, Tim, if you would, I'd give you the benefit to introduce yourself to my listening audience.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity to and your listeners' time today. I grew up on the western side of the state, southwest Louisiana, a town called DeRidder, north of Lake Charles. Grew up in an insurance family, and I've spent my professional career in the insurance industry, over 20 years in it. And I ran for commissioner back in 2019. And I'm running again. I announced October of last year that I was running again for this office, and I've been on the ground and running hard ever since.
And what do you see that you would want our listening audience to know of your strong point and your strengths that you would bring to this office?
Well, insurance is complex. I think we all acknowledge that. And Louisiana is facing a crisis that it hasn't seen. And I mean, every insurance professional that I know that's been in this business 40 plus years, they all say the same thing. They've never seen it this bad. I mean, all of us, we're all facing, the obvious. We're all facing a homeowner's crisis where it's become unavailable and unaffordable. Our personal auto rates are the highest in the country. Flood 2.0 has failed and unaffordable. And you've got commercial property and commercial trucking, commercial auto, which are also issues. So no matter where you turn in the insurance world, if you will, it's a crisis. It's unaffordable. The house is burning down. And I think it's important this election now more than ever that we need a commissioner of insurance such as myself that is from the industry, understands the complexities of it, and can hone down on real solutions to help make insurance affordable and available. And it comes down to competition. We don't have it anymore in Louisiana.
So what would you bring to the table? I mean, you do recognize that there would be a level of skepticism for some voters that say, well, why would I be compelled to vote for someone who comes from the industry?
Well, we've done the professional politician route for decades now, and let's look where that's gotten us. Again, we've had a meltdown. I mean, yes, we had four hurricanes in 12 months, but we've had an auto crisis that's decades in the making. And on the homeowners, we had 12 companies go insolvent. That's the charge of the office of commissioner, is to make sure that companies that do business in Louisiana, with those that come in, that they charge appropriate rates, that they handle their fiscal business, their checkbook properly, so that when we do have storms, which they're in the business to handle, when we have them, they're there to pay claims. So that's where I bring that expertise and that the knowledge of that, of holding insurance companies accountable, knowing how they need to conduct their business. I was a reinsurance broker for many years. We're talking about the cost of reinsurance now. I understand the process of companies that have to buy insurance. That's reinsurance. Stress testing companies and their books of business, all these things that you're hearing about, I've been living that world for 20 plus years. It's not new to me. It's not politics. It's business. And if we're going to address the crisis, you know, all of these crises that are impacting us, we can't play politics, and we've been doing that for too long.
So you mentioned stress testing of companies. I've always been, you know, one that thought that we're not doing a good enough job in that regard. We're not proactive enough, and a lot of the insurers that come into our market are completely and woefully undercapitalized, and you know, we allow them to write a book of business, and shortly thereafterwards they go under. How do we remedy that?
Well, but when we invite companies to come in, you know, we have to be upfront, and I'm talking about at the state level, from a regulatory level, to say, to understand what we're asking them to do. We're asking them to come into Louisiana, write policies that are going to be primarily located in the coastal parishes, so they're highly exposed to hurricanes. They need to have not just the minimum financial requirements, but well above that. They need to purchase as much reinsurance, not as they can afford, but as they need, so that they can stay in business when they do get hit with a catastrophe. That's having that working knowledge, and not just accepting when a company submits their, you know, the information that they're required to by law to the department that says, you know, we've checked all the boxes. It goes beyond that, and that's where I'm saying, that's why it's very important that we don't look at it from a political standpoint of, we invited six companies in and they came in and wrote cheap insurance. Okay, that did take place. You know, we did that 15 years ago, and it brought in some other companies that wrote cheap insurance. What did the cheap insurance get us? You know, cheap is expensive in the long run. Everybody paid their premiums on time for the last, 10, 15 years. But then when we needed those companies, when we had the claims, they went insolvent. They left the state. So, you know, it sounded good politically to say we brought these companies in, but at the end of the day, it didn't serve the citizens of Louisiana.
Oftentimes folks say, to be successful in business, you have to know when to say no. But do we have the regulatory authority to actually say no?
Well, it's the regulator that allows companies in the state of Louisiana to start with. So the regulator does have the ability to say no. But that's where we need to focus on making Louisiana an attractive state for companies that want to come in. And, you know, we can do that from a regulatory standpoint, an ease of doing business. But we also let them know up front, you know, we're going to hold you to a higher standard. You know, we're asking you to come in and do business in our state, and you're going to be exposed to, you know, more severe storms, more frequency. So you need to have a business plan that addresses that when those claims occur.
We're speaking with Tim Temple, candidate for insurance commissioner. Tim, you know, we regulate parochially, right? What goes on here within the confines of our state boundaries. And a lot of times these companies get themselves in trouble, not only what goes on here, but what they're doing in other states. And I've often wondered whether or not there's an ability to have a compact amongst Gulf states, especially those impacted by hurricanes, to protect ourselves from that and sharing this information, because they suffer the same consequence as well, right? What goes on in Louisiana is going to impact their insured.
And you're right, there are companies that write in multiple states, and it's good for companies to write in multiple states because they get to spread their risk, spread their exposure. But that's where the awareness up front comes in. If you're going to allow a company to come in, and we're talking homeowners right now, obviously, and there are other lines of business of stress, but on the homeowners, if you're going to allow a company to come in and write 30,000 policies in Louisiana, you need to know up front that they're also writing 50,000 policies in Florida or 50,000 policies in Texas. And that has to go into your evaluation of that company. You know, are they going to be financially solvent if a hurricane comes across Florida, hits them there, and then comes into Louisiana? I mean, it's like, you know, I said at the beginning, insurance is complex. And that's why you've got to take a very, you know, broad overview of allowing companies to come in. You know, Newell, when we let these companies come in back in 2006, 7, and 8, you know, and all the other companies that eventually came in behind them, you know, there were a lot that were you know, I would say, I would call it thinly capitalized. And the industry knew it. Those of us within the industry, I mean, we've talked about it for years. And the comment was, if we ever have, you know, a major storm or multiple storms, and I'm not saying anyone can predict that we had four in 12 months,
right,
but we knew that if we had, you know, a wide catastrophic event, that that there were companies that were going to teeter, if not go insolvent. And that happened. You know, the regulator needs to know that as well.
And I guess it comes down to the willingness, though, to really be proactive in that regard, right? I mean, you know, when we're assessing these companies and we're engaging in the due diligence as to what they bring and what they offer, we have to be honest with ourselves first, I would think, in the manner in which we're going to evaluate these companies. Because if they're writing 50, 60, 70,000 policies in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Mississippi, and Alabama, you know, I mean, they're taking on a lot more risk, and obviously the demand to be capitalized to minimize that risk goes up. Are we saying that we haven't been honest with ourselves?
Well, you know, I get back to, you know, what I said earlier. You know, we encouraged companies to come in, and they wrote what is arguably cheap insurance, and this is using hindsight now. So, you know,
I'll be upfront with that.
But I mean, we had companies come in, and, you know, the example I've heard repeated on the radio and testimony is, you know, insurance for a house went from $1,000 a month to $400 a month. And it stayed that way for 10 years until Hurricane Ida came, and then that company went insolvent. So, you know, you could say it was cheap insurance that they were getting, which is great, but cheap insurance that when the company's not there to stand behind the claims, you know, what did you get for that? For all those years you paid your premium and they're gone, you didn't get anything. So we've got to balance, you know, inviting companies and encouraging companies to come in with making sure that, you know, the insurance is a promise to pay. So we've got to balance bringing companies and attracting companies to come in with the long-term view of we're going to have a hurricane at some point in time. And when it does, that company needs to be able to stand up and you know, face the financial weather, if you will, and pay the claims that people paid their premiums to get. It's a balance, and there is no easy answer, but it's eyes open at the beginning and not, you know, the retrospective, you know, cheap insurance was good, you know, for a while, and yes, your company went insolvent, but don't worry, we'll fix it again. That doesn't serve the citizens of Louisiana.
Tim, I wonder, you know, along those lines of going in with your eyes wide open, we understand where we know better than anyone where the risk is in the state of Louisiana, especially as it relates to homeowners and flood, right? I mean, we've experienced that science project over and over and over again. And I wonder, you know, when we invite insurers in, if we're not better served setting up insurance districts within the state of Louisiana. It could be the congressional district. It could be any way you want to dice it up. And authorize them and maybe mandate them to write so many policies in each one of those districts, where we compel them to minimize their risk and spread their risk out across the state of Louisiana. Would there be a receptiveness on the industry to do that? Because, you know, when we come in and you're writing most of your policies in Southeast or Southwest or a combination of both below the I-10, you're taking on an inordinate amount of risk. And, you know, the way these storms present themselves, you know, if you got so much market share in one zip code that gets hammered, these companies go under.
Well, that's an interesting concept you're talking about there, Newell. But I think that's inviting the government to get involved into managing the risk of the insurance company. And I'm a believer in free market, and you let the carriers manage their risk. But I do think that
I would argue the flip side. That's helping manage the risk of the taxpaying citizens of the state of Louisiana who are financing the government being involved in insurance, right?
Well, that's if you set up a program where the government was insuring those risks in those districts. But I think there's a potential different solution, which other states have done successfully, is to set up, in, again, talking property, wind pools, mm-hmm. where the state sets a wind pool up, and it's where, you know, you're buying an insurance layer of protection that the insurance company then goes above that, or it can be below that, depending on how it's set up. It's a way to spread that risk, as you're talking about. The district concept you're talking about, I had not given that, haven't given that much thought.
And the only reason I bring that up is that, I'm kind of curious. I know down here, I was in the market, just my own personal experience, and I had these major companies tell me, well, you're too close to Lake Pontchartrain. I'm like, well, what does that have to do with a wind policy? You know, a wind and hail policy. I don't understand. And they're not writing. You know, I happen to be in an area of Metairie that, if, for example, on the flood side, if I flood, the whole parish is underwater. So it just kind of struck me as odd, and as opposed to them just being, I think they were dishonest. I just think they had too much risk in this zip code, and they wanted to minimize it.
Right.
But for many, as I look at this process that we're going through right now, it's going to be interesting to see how it kind of dissects up as to the price point of housing and, and how much coverage you're actually looking for. And in the past, we didn't have a lot of insurers that were dealing with 500,000 plus homes, that they were no longer in the market. But this time is different because you got a lot of those companies that aren't writing in Southeast Louisiana.
Well, no, I do know that the companies that have been invited to participate, or that have applied to participate in the incentive program, which was recently funded. The bill was passed last year, but funded just recently. I know that there is a provision in there that insurance, that if you take these monies, that you are limited in how many, a percentage of policies that you write, and I believe it's by parish. To address what you're talking about, I don't know that it's above that. I think it's only the companies in Louisiana, these companies that are taking this money. I don't know that any company outside of those eight or nine have that type of, restriction or, protection.
All right. Tim, you have a few more minutes to spend?
Sure.
Okay, we got to get to a break. 504-260-1870. We're visiting with Tim Temple, candidate for insurance commissioner. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Tim Temple. He's a candidate for insurance commissioner. He's been in the business for over 20 years of experience in the insurance industry. Tim, I want to kind of pass a couple of anecdotal stuff that I hear all the time, especially in the aftermath of a hurricane, and we're trying to adjust claims. Had a caller one time that called in, and one of the walls of their house, brick veneer home, one side was destroyed. The bricks fell, you know, were gone. They were spread out all over the place, couldn't be really recollected, rehabbed. And the insurance company wanted to replace the brick. The brick is no longer manufactured and therefore wouldn't match the rest of the house. And they ended up in this conflict for an extended period of time. How do we rid ourselves of issues like that? Same thing with painting, you know, one wall of a house that is not aged. It's going to look different than the rest of the house. And some of these aesthetic challenges that you have in dealing with insurers, with insurance companies.
Right. Well, you know, I think there's always going to be those types of challenges and one-offs. What you don't want to see is where that becomes the standard practice of an insurance company. And no, I think that's one of the things there is communication and transparency. When those types of things happen, you know, that's something that needs to be elevated to the department level so that they can get engaged and find out was it a bad adjuster experience, or was it just, you know, a bad company experience for that one, or is it more widespread? Look, I think at the end of the day, insurance companies are in business, you know, to take your premium, pay your claims, make a fair profit so that they can continue to pay claims. And they tend to be customer service oriented. The companies that normally provide bad customer service don't stay in business. So, without knowing all the particulars, you know, that's one that typically self-regulates itself. It becomes a problem when that becomes their standard practice.
But, you know, but the thing is that everybody's always looking, and this is not a criticism, it's just an observation. I'm a firm believer in you get what you pay for, but a lot of folks are compelled to take the cheapest alternative. And I guess getting back to what we originally started with regulation of the industry, is that if we know that companies are thinly capitalized, we know that these little anecdotal stories that I just revealed are going to be more prevalent, right? I mean, I can connect those dots all day long.
Right. Yeah, they'll tend to cut corners, is what I'm hearing you say. But you're right. That's where, you know, we need to, you know, make Louisiana attractive from a regulatory standpoint and from the laws that are on the books, encourage companies to come in so that they feel that they'll be treated fairly. You know, again, they can make a fair profit so that they can treat their customers, you know, the way that they need to be treated. The ones that we, you know, that come in, whether they're invited or they, you know, slip in and write cheap premium just for the sake of writing cheap premium, only to leave at the you know, first time there's a storm or the first time they have any type of, you know, serious claims. That doesn't behoove the customer at the end of the day. Their claim's not going to be handled. It's going to, you know, they're going to be with an insolvent company. They're going to be, you know, then go to, LIGA and have their claim handled there, which adds more time to get, you know, your house rebuilt. I'm not saying you encourage expensive companies to come in, but it needs to be adequately priced. I mean, people will, you know, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess that's the point. I mean, especially the experience that we've had here, we know that to rebuild your home or get it right because of damages of a storm, that the labor cost and supply chain gets distressed and products go up. And in fact, labor costs go up here almost every time after a storm, minimum 30%. But we end up engaged in arguments over this where the insured has no control over supply, demand, but we know that these are economic factors that are going to influence the cost. And I've always curious, you know, when we are applying these actuarial tables to risk, if we are in fact accommodating for this circumstance, because it happens without exception. I can't think of a storm that traditional labor and product costs were the same after the storm as they were before the storm.
You're talking about the storm surge pricing that comes, just like you said,
supply and demand.
Large demand.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, and look, without looking in a company's books and how they actuarially relate, I would anticipate that those are priced into it. I think it really ends up being more of a supply issue. I mean, the companies are there, the solvent companies are there. They'll be able to pay for those supplies, but it's getting them to someone, you know, in a timely manner so that they can start to rebuild their house, start to rebuild their lives. I think we focused, you know, too long on just cheap insurance, and we need to focus on affordable insurance. And to me, affordable insurance is, you know, buying your insurance from a company, whether it's your homeowners or your auto, you know, whatever it is, that is going to be there at the end of the day when you need them. That's the most important factor. I mean, again, being able to afford cheap insurance only to have that company leave when you need them the most is actually a waste of money. You didn't get what you paid for.
Well, I agree. I think it's worse than that, though, because I think that some of the adjusting conduct that goes on when you buy the cheap insurance is that's what you're getting, is they're trying to replace and repair on the cheap. And that's my point. And I guess it just exacerbates the problem because they're not accommodating actuarially, you know, these price fluctuations, price increases that we face every time. And we're arguing and trying to adjust these things, you know, and it's kind of it's silly to me, you know, because the insured has no control over any of these conditions that exist. All they want is to be able to move back into their home and not have any more damage occur as a result of whatever the remediation is going to be temporarily and obviously what it will be permanently. Let me ask this one final question because I know that you have to go. There are going to be a lot of measures, I would suspect, about approaching this from a tort reform perspective. And there's an idea floating around a number of things that don't really work really well for the insured. Is that something that you're going to keep your eye on? And will you opine at that point in time when these bills reveal themselves?
Yeah, no, I know. Yes, I know that the session's starting here in a couple of weeks and bills are starting to be filed or I guess dropped so that we can see them. I am going to be looking at those and, certainly, you know, that's going to be the balance of the current regulator and the current legislature and the current governor is to, you know, you want to make Louisiana a more attractive state, but you have to balance it on, you know, consumer protection. You know, when you don't have any markets and insurance is unaffordable, then you certainly have to do something to change the marketplace. That's the balance. But yes, to answer your question, I will be looking at those. I'm sure I will have thoughts and opinions on a lot of that.
Yep. Final thoughts?
Look, I am, as you said, I'm from the industry. I believe wholeheartedly that now is the time that Louisiana needs a commissioner of insurance that has insurance experience to help regulate the market, help keep the market in check, make sure they pay claims timely and fairly, and also charge a fair rate. And that's the candidate I am. I appreciate your time and your listeners' time, and I look forward to being on your show again.
Thank you, sir. Best of luck to you. Tim Temple, candidate for insurance commissioner. Have a great weekend. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's No Filter Friday, so let's go to the talk lines. Joseph, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. I may have misunderstood you, so correct me, please, if I'm wrong. One of the things that I thought you said was when we get these cheaper insurance companies, their adjusters and their payments are going to be in direct proportion to the cheapness of your insurance. Was that correct?
No, what I was saying was is that insurance companies that, you know, own their adjusters, so to speak, they are employees of the company, that if they are undercapitalized and they have a lot of risk, it leads to a propensity that to increase these disagreements between the adjuster and what they're willing to pay and what is actually the cost that's being borne by the insured.
I have to agree with that, but I also would have to say that I'm not going to say the name of the insurance company, but they're located in Europe and in the United Kingdom, and that's all I'm going to say. I heard they're one of the largest in the world, and if not the largest, they're the second largest. Well, I have multiple buildings insured with them. They own their own adjusters, and I can tell you that they have fought me longer and harder, and I've been in the retail business for 50 plus years than any other insurance company, and they have paid the least of any of the insurance companies, and they intend on paying the least, and I'm still in some type of legal process, let's put it that way, with them. They're all the same.
And that's the point I was trying to make. I mean, I hear these anecdotal stories. I've never experienced this. The insurance company that I've been with for the last 10 or 12 years, they're no longer writing. And, I had to seek insurance coverage somewhere else. They were class act, and open, transparent. When there was a conflict, we got it resolved in short order. I'm talking about days, not months. And I appreciated the way that they approached it. But I hear these anecdotal stories from other folks that we're arguing about the silliest things. And, when they're offering you $12,000 for your roof and you go out and you solicit, I know of one case, solicited 10 bids and not a single bid came back within and anywhere close. In fact, the lowest bid was 125% greater than what they were offering. Something's wrong. It's like I need the roof, but you're offering me X and every bid comes back at X plus whatever. How do we remediate this? And, and in a lot of cases, what you get from some of these insurance companies, probably not most, but some, is crickets. And meanwhile, you've got a blue tarp on your roof and, it's raining like the Dickens out here. And, and you're worried and staying up nights wondering, how's how the efficacy of that blue tarp, how long is it going to be there? You know, how much longer is it going to work before I get more damage? And these are the things that, you know, I think that we need to have a more defined way of dealing with these conflicts, where we're not having to run to court and get involved in a court case, and we can compel this, whether it's arbitration, mediation, whatever it may be. But we got to figure out a way to get to the resolution here, because most of this is outside of the insured's control, right?
Well, let me put it this way. I restored a historic building, let's say 3 or 4 years ago, and I spent a lot of money. I had to restore the whole building 100% because the roof failed, and I waited, and mold came throughout the whole building. The only thing I didn't restore was the steel metal studs. Everything else was restored. I got zero money from that insurance company, the one in United Kingdom. They said it was wind-driven rain, and it was just so happened that the Downtown Development District just gave me a grant in 2019, and all this can be easily documented, and I'd love to show it, that I had to repoint the whole building since 2019, and they said it was wind-driven rain, and how could it be when I just repointed the whole building and the roof gave way?
Yeah. It's a classic example of what I'm talking about. You know, complete lack of understanding of the building materials used here, the experience. I could tell you this. In Katrina, I sat in my office building at 3300 Metairie Road and watched the keep leave the hasp of every door in that building. That building expanded so much. The only thing that saved us is it was a tilt-up cement panel building. Had it been anything else, there would have been all kinds of hidden defects and stuff because of the expansion and contraction when the pressure dropped. And I've heard of a number of cases where we're in litigation with insurance companies over this, as though that's not a phenomenon that occurs. Well, it occurs in every storm, and we're still having to litigate whether or not that's real. Doesn't make much sense to me. We'll be right back, folks. We'll let you know what Scoot has coming your way. Stay with us. Folks, don't forget to check me out on my at Twitter at NewellWWL, and also we had a lot of good stuff on the show today, and if you missed it, you can go to WWL.com and click on audio and then click on Newell, or you can just hit rewind. You can download the Odyssey app and listen to any of the shows you love on WWL within 24 hours, rewind or audio demand. Scoots up next, Free for All Friday. Where does New Orleans rank in the list of the dirtiest cities in America? You might be surprised, he says. Plus, how is Melania Trump reacting to all the news about her husband paying off a porn star to keep quiet about having sex with him? Scoot has a report, and Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston are friends, very close friends, but that's all, they say. Can men and women be just friends without sex? Is that easier for a woman than a man? Have you ever had a close friend that you loved, but you were only friends, and if the other person is married, is their spouse cool with it? Hang on with Scoot on the air this afternoon, 1 to 4, and that's a lot of topics, and that ought to play right into Free for All Friday for sure. Folks, have a great weekend. Go Tigers. We'll see you again Monday morning.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.